Hi, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Empowered Podcast Season Number 7. And like you have heard from the other episode, we are talking about or discussing about what we have learned 1 year or more than a year into the pandemic. What have we learned? What have we improved on? What are the things that we need to continue improving? Of course, and it's an honor again to have a very special guest. He was with us a year ago, and there was a discussion on open educational resources, and he generously shared his expertise on that topic. But our special guest, Dr. Ferdinand Blanca Flor Pitagan, he is the Dean of the School of Teacher Education at National Teachers College. And right now, there's an interesting topic that we want to talk about. How do we prepare future teachers or future educators who are very comfortable into facing disruptions such as the pandemic? So, welcome, Dr. Ferdinand Pitagan. That was very formal.
It was a very formal introduction. Good morning, Jim. Thank you for having me again. And good morning, everyone. Thank you again for attending this particular podcast. I think this podcast has been a tremendous help to the teachers on the ground, as well as to our leaders and STEAM administrators on how they would continue education more than one year into the pandemic. So hopefully we could learn a lot of things together during this podcast. Thank you, Jim.
Thank you for the kind words, Dr. Ferdy, a very good friend of mine. Off the record, before we started recording this podcast, we already started our usual discussion. That's how we really got close. I mean, like, we see each other, we sit together and start discussing problems. I don't know why we love discussing problems of education or in education, but that's a very interesting factoid that we have right now. Dr. Ferdy, you are in a very good position right now because you're leading a school, a college, however we call it, depending on, yeah. But you're leading the formation. You're leading the development of future educators or teachers in the country, in the Philippines. And we know that the pandemic has really disrupted not just the life of, you know, the teacher and the student, but even the future teachers themselves. So first question, what changed? What are the new transformation with regard to teacher education institutions right now?
It is also, I've been with NTC for 1.5 years already, and I'm proudly can say that NTC has been in the forefront of innovation on how we would continue education. For one, we are now the largest graduate teacher education program in the country. Because of this, we have put forth a lot of innovative processes and practices on how we would continue teaching, learning services, and even leadership. Diba, Jim, lagi nga nilang sinasabi, disaster is the laboratory for innovation. And this is what pandemic has proved to the Filipino teachers and to the teacher education in the Philippines in general. Ang kauna-unahang nakita naming pagbabago is that everyone now, really, the whole community now is in the process of continuing education. It is no longer the teacher who is in the front of education. Now, the home is a very empirical partner on how we would have our children learn what they're supposed to learn, how they would be have heightened knowledge, skills, and even attitude. Even leadership in the community is also now part of the education process, of the education equation. Even the higher ups, the national government, the IFPF, and DepEd is now more invested, I think, on education more than ever. Kasi sabi nga natin, education yung isa sa badly hit ng pandemic because of the amount of students that we have. So I think that is one consideration that TEI should look into and should continue beyond the pandemic. How now to have that community involvement on the continuation of education vis-a-vis affecting the decisions in the teacher education program. Also, yung adapting a resilient, flexible educational systems. No? Yung we are now more into compassion. We are now more into putting viable, practical solutions on how we would continue our services, how we would continue our synchronous sessions or even our modules, how teachers will be trained, rapidly trained during this pandemic. Lahat yan parang naging very flexible lahat, very adaptive, no? Yung the whole ecosystem of education. I also, number three, I also saw the acceleration of the adaptation of open distance learning. Na very happy tayong dalawa dyan, di ba? For decades, we've been advocating the integration of technology into education. Tagal-tagal na nating sinasabi yan, di ba? Pero before the pandemic, parang it's there. The decision to use it or whether or not to use it would depend on the foot soldiers, our teachers inside the classroom. Pero ngayon, we have no other choice but to use open and distance learning tools and processes in order to continue education. But the end of it all, this open and distance learning modalities, whether it be blended, whether it be hybrid, whether it is through the use of mass education like television or radio, should be treated as tools, diba? It is not the end all and be all of learning, diba? Lagi nating sinasabi, it boils down to good instructional design, etc., etc. Tapos nakita din natin yung decongestion of the curriculum. Diba, March, nag-pandemic tayo. Last March, ang DepEd naglabas ng most essential learning competencies. The goal was to decongest the curriculum. Diba, sabi nga ng DepEd, 60% of the competencies were subsumed, deleted, or revised accordingly. Imagine that. Dati kasi mga around 16% yung number of competencies natin. Ngayon, mga less than 6,000, mga more than 5,000, ganyan. So nakita din natin yung rapidly prototyping na, ay, pwede naman pala agad-agad i-decongest yung curriculum, di ba? Pwede naman pala yon. Tapos we also saw the reconfiguration of the learning environment. Di ba? Kasi right now, even the brick and mortar school is being threatened. Especially in higher education, di ba? Mabalik pa ba talaga tayo doon sa traditional face-to-face na 5 days a week, 8 to 5 for basic education? I don't think so. I think ODL, the open and distance learning, would be an empirical part of how we would continue education beyond the pandemic. And yung reconfiguration of that learning environment. So dapat pala may provisions for technology. Dapat pala may provision for health and wellness. Dapat pala may provision for teacher faculty. Dapat pala may provision for direct communication with the leadership. So, dapat pala, pwede palang online. Pwede palang correspondence module. Pwede palang blended, di ba? Pwede palang hybrid. Yun. So, we rapidly also reconfigure our learning environment. Tapos, sa pading nakita ko dyan, yung integration ng assessment. Di ba? Ang tagal na rin natin dyan sinasabi yan, na look at your curriculum, baka merong point of integration across subjects. Say for example, subjects like science, math, by nature is really, parang may direct relationship, di ba? Pero parang, busy tayo. Pero ngayon talaga, academic institutions are now trying to really come up with an integrated assessment. Doon nga sa mga schools na nagko-consult sa akin, ang ginagawa nga namin sa curriculum, gawa tayo ng 1 month curriculum and then from there we need to identify points of integration. Kasi sabi din ng DepEd, nabago din yung how we would assess our students, di ba? Parang written work na nga lang, parang yung PETA na lang, di ba? Performance task na yung tinignan natin. Kasi hindi naman tayo pwede mag-check ng attendance, kasi hindi naman lahat ay may nasa online. Most of them would be in correspondence. So yung naging outcomes-based tayo, outputs-based. So yung PETA, baka pwedeng tatlong subjects o apat na subjects would be one particular performance task, tapos iba lang yung hinihit na competencies. Say for example, in the introduction, you're hitting English. For the computation, you're hitting math, etc., etc. Ayun. So, ano pa ba nakita natin? Yung provisions of resources. Diba? Na whether you are in K-12 or HEI, nakita natin talaga that leaders, including the governments, the LGUs, private institutions, are really setting foot on how to provide provisions, technology, bandwidth, training for our teachers, even to our students, yung malalaking mga LGUs, no? And, naku, ano pa ba? Ang dami kasing pangyabago. Ayun, yung focus sa wellness and health, di ba? Parang dati kasi may guidance office, my clinic, etc. Okay na yung provisions na yan. Pero ngayon, nakita natin, since we migrated into online or even into correspondence module, there should be really a deliberate attempt on how students, teachers, administrators, or the whole educational system would really set forth practices and provisions for health and wellness ng lahat ng stakeholders. Ngayon na yung health and wellness ng parents or any caregiver, diba, inside the home is also part of the equation. Ako, ang dami na yata noon. So ito yung mga nakikita ko how education has been transforming in the context of the Philippines and how all this, you know, rapidly prototype changes should factor in on how we would redesign our teacher education institute.
Dr. Ferdy, you've mentioned a lot, and I think one thing that I could really say to that is that we need a holistic approach really right now into how we look at education, how we prepare future teachers, because if we have a holistic education, then I think that's also the way we should be preparing, you know, teaching, training future teachers. It's very interesting because if you look at every aspect of it, these are the things that I've seen, for example, the old curriculum before. I remember in 2019, I think I was in a roundtable discussion in UP, and we were looking into the main problems there before, like what you've said, was there's no really ICT or EdTech in the course. And they said, was like, no, we will be adding, but it's still in draft, that the curriculum still being drafted. And I'm like, we're talking about the topic before was fourth industrial revolution, and then we're thinking of how to respond and everything, and yet the curriculum is being left behind. And then you have the pandemic right now, and it's actually accelerating everything. So I think that's one thing that we are very hopeful for the acceleration. I hope that no one gets left behind in the accelerated pace, but it's really a big help. Well, if there's something that we could get out of the pandemic, it's really accelerating all the things that we have been wishing for. There's another episode where I spoke to the head of the National Basic Education Commission of CEAP, or the Catholic Education Association of the Philippines. And she also said the same thing. If there's one thing that she really, you know, picked up from the pandemic, it's how quick we can respond to the accelerated thing. Like, for example, kaya naman palang i-decongest ang curriculum. It only took a pandemic for us to do that. And the big question there is, how do you reconcile the old congested curriculum to the new normal decongested curriculum? So I think that's a topic that we can look forward to.
Well, in fairness to DepEd, even before the pandemic hit, they've been reviewing the K-12 curriculum. Kaya pagdating nga ng March, it was very, very easy for DepEd to put forth the melts. And right now, I can say that DepEd now is reviewing again the curriculum vis-a-vis the melts and how it would now transition into a more robust, more agile, maybe more decongested curriculum in the future. Kasi I can say this because I'm part now of the team who are now reviewing the K-12 curriculum. But this call is also true for the CMOs, the PSGs in higher education institution, that call to again review, especially the teacher education programs.
Dr. Ferdy, after all the analysis that you have shared to us, if there's how would you describe like a future teacher right now after a pandemic? You're in charge of preparing teachers, right, for the country. How would you describe a future proof, for example, a teacher?
Oh, a proof. Ang ganda no, that's a very good question. How do we now envision our teacher of the future? Ganda, no? Pero please remember that yung pandemic is 2020, di ba? Ngayon 2021 and even in 2022, I think this is our recovery process. Di ba? We are trying to reconfigure how our best, sabi mo nga Jim, di ba? How our best practices before the pandemic and during the pandemic would now reconfigure the new normal. Kasi parang feeling ko, wala pa nga tayo sa new normal. Nandun pa lang tayo sa pandemic normal. Nandito pa din tayo sa pandemic, di ba? The new normal now is being reconfigured after the pandemic. Ano na ba yung itsura ng teacher? First of all, for all the teachers who are listening, I would love to congratulate you. I really salute you. Despite of every challenges and every, you know, difficulties that our country is facing, nakita naman natin how resilient our Filipino teachers are. And the resiliency of Filipino teacher is something that we really need to harness and put it into proper perspective to future-proof our teachers. Yan yung kauna-unahan nating tingnan. Yung mga champions natin ngayon, a bulk of our teachers are very, ano ba yung endemic qualities? How do we put that into the curriculum? Diba? How do we put that into mainstreaming so that everyone would be on board in terms of resiliency, diba? Our teachers kasi, yung future-proof teachers during the pandemic and our Filipino teachers are very, very innovative, diba? Nakita natin yan, diba? Yung teachers pupunta sa bundok, yung cellphone niya ang gagamitin, isa lang ang signal, and yet continue yung teaching and learning. Very, very flexible. Mawala ng ilaw, mawala ng provisions, hindi dumating ang module on time. Diba? Alam ng teachers natin ang gagawin. Pagbasa ng module, may maling example. Diba? May wrong spelling, etc. Alam ng teacher ang gagawin. Diba? And on the top of it all, our teachers also are the most compassionate teachers in the world, I think, talaga. Especially yung mga teachers na naka-embed doon sa community, sa multi-grade schools, teachers who are in the far-flung area, di ba? So, nag-pandemic, hindi kami makalabas, walang module, alam namin ang gagawin, but at the same time, yung puso para sa bata, yung puso para sa community is there. So, I think to future-proof our teachers, yan yung kailangan natin. We have to operationalize resiliency. Paano ba natin i-inject yan doon sa curriculum natin? Paano natin gagawing resilient yung teacher education students natin? And yung compassion. I think that's the very first thing na kailangan natin ilagay doon sa the future teachers. Tapos ako meron ding term ngayon, yung high-flex, no? A combination of hybrid and flexible learning. Dapat meron din tayong high-flex teacher. Diba? yung high-flex teachers natin would be the 21st century teacher, creative, very good in communication, critical thinkers, and collaborators, di ba? Isasama natin din yung digital citizenship, di ba? Kasi yung digital citizenship, nakita natin ngayon kung paano na-erase yung barriers, di ba, between countries, between schools, because of online provisions, di ba? We are now, say for example, your podcast, we are beaming across the world and possibly the universe. Di ba? Yung ganyan. So, kailangan teachers natin are also digital citizens. Okay. Tapos, yung cultural sensitivity. Ayan, di ba? Sinasabi nga natin, in the Philippines, we have around 7,000, more than 7,000 islands. So yung teachers natin should be, and because of cross-boundary migration, and because of online technologies, di ba? Now you don't need to go to somewhere in order to get that learning. Kailangan mas culturally sensitive na yung future teachers of the type of student na nandun sa klase, of their own context, of their own cases, of their own culture. Kailangan ganun na yung future teacher. At saka yung emotional intelligence ng teacher. Diba? Naku, napaka-importante to. Diba? Hindi yung si teacher ang unang maghahanash. Ang unang magbabash, diba? Teachers are more into finding solution. May nakita kang mali sa module, diba? So, ano ba yung proper course na dapat para makita ng leaders na mali yung module, kailangan makorek, di ba? And what solution do you offer? Di ba? Hindi yung puro, pero wala ka namang solusyon na binibigyan. You add to the equation of chaos, di ba? Doon sa conversation. Ayan. And of course, kailangan yung mga teachers natin, kasi nga hype, kailangan tech savvy na sila. Kailangan media savvy. And yung katulad ng pinag-uusapan natin, it should go beyond the technological skills, the computer skills. More importantly, would be the pedagogical, the convergence of pedagogy, technology, and skills. If you're going to look at the TPAC framework, dapat yung tatlong yon na TPAC of UNESCO, dapat yung tatlong yon na sa future teachers yon. Hindi marunong na akong gumawa ng PowerPoint. Diba? Kailangan alam ko how to seamlessly integrated into my lesson activities. Hindi dapat yung highlight ng klase ko ay video. Diba? Yung video is a tool. Kailangan seamlessly integrated yan into our lesson activities. Ayan. Ako din, gusto ko din ang future teachers would have that heightened sense of teacher agency. Yan, ganda yan. Ang usong-uso ngayon sa educational conversation. We should give the teacher not only the bulk of work, but also the power to decide. Kasi nga, sabi natin, 21st century teacher siya, high-flex teacher siya, compassionate teacher siya, resilient teacher siya. Thereby, give them the power to decide on what would be the best course of action in lesson activities. Then yung teacher agency, no, you're giving that decision to the teacher. And at the same time, kasama din doon sa teacher agency, kailangan yung mga teachers should be included in the decision process. Di ba? Hindi parang kunyari yung memo ay ibababa na lang from heaven. At kailangan ipalo nyo to. Pag hindi nyo to pinalo, may punishment, di ba? Ang tawag na nga natin minsan sa DepEd, parang memo-centric, di ba? Lahat na lang nasa policy. Pero kailangan, we should give them, and not only give them, include them in the decision-making, di ba? Kami nga dati, I'm part of the K-12 who wrote the Media and Information Literacy Curriculum Media Guide, and also the Empowerment Technology. While we're doing the reference material for teachers, I deliberately included a teacher inside the classroom. Hindi siya principal, hindi siya multi-awarded teacher, pero yung teacher na talagang nagtuturo ng MIL inside. We want to harness your learnings. Ano bang problema? Ano ba yung best practices? So that is part of the teacher agency. Tapos, a future teacher also should have that growth mindset. Especially now. Lagi natin sinasabi, everything is being rapidly prototyped. Pag nagkamali ako, it's part of the process. Mali eh. E di baguhin natin. Diba? Mali eh. Well, how do we improve them? Hindi yung pag mali yung teacher, may maling proseso, sisihan, kasalanan mo kasi, hindi kasi ginawa to, hindi ganito kasi, sumulat tayo kay ganito para i-call out. No, the growth process is, mistake is part of that growth. You learn from your mistake. You put innovation, how to correct that mistake. Yung growth process na, this is AA, and also I am a lifelong and lifelong learning. I will continue to, harness all probable, trainings, all probable, podcasts, ganyan, in order to still continuously better my craft. Okay. Tapos yung teachers then, future teachers then, we should have the agency also to take care of ourselves. Diba? Yung healthy and wellness ng teacher. Yun nga, me time. I love me time. Yan. Yung care for self. Dapat kasama din yun sa competency ng teachers natin ngayon. Hindi yung pagbinigyan ng trabaho si teacher. 36 hours hindi natulog si teacher. Diba? Nararanasan natin dati yan. Talagang hindi tayo natutulog hanggang hindi tapos ang trabaho. Kasi kailangan, especially leaders like us, kailangan kasi matapos to, i-implement pa to from the ground, etc., etc. Pero ako, more than a year into the pandemic, lagi ko na din itong sinasabi sa teacher ko, kailangan, it is you who is responsible for taking care of yourself. Hindi yung sumasakit na ang ulo, nagluluha na ang mata, mabibiyak na ang baywang, anong gagawin ni teacher? Iinom ng gamot para sige magtrabaho. Instead of taking rest, of taking time, of distressing, diba? So yun, kailangan yung future teachers natin may ganun ding sense of urgency to take care of themselves. At saka yung provisions also. Although yung provisions na sinasabi ko, yung provisions for equipment, provisions for a room inside the house, provisions for bandwidth, this could be taken up in the community level. What I'm saying is yung resilient teachers should be in a safe, healthy well-being that is guaranteed by their employment, guaranteed by the state, diba? Guaranteed by themselves in order to function as teacher of the future.
Yeah. Dr. Ferdy, I love that you enlisted again a very holistic approach into looking and visioning a resilient teacher. And if you look into it, I think this is what I envy. I've been exposed to different education systems because of my colleagues internationally. And there are education systems where all of those things are being given to their teachers. And of course, there's no perfect education system, but we really wish for that for ourselves, because those things will be really, it's like you can't get a very, very good teacher, an expert teacher who will run through all the challenges without, sacrificing themselves. They have to take care of themselves because they will not be able to share what they can't or what they don't have. So very interesting. Dr. Ferdy, on to our last question. 3, if you were to add or remove, I think this is a very futuristic speculation on the things. You've mentioned a lot about holistic approach, about social emotional learning being part of teachers, you know, skills in handling students, even working with the community and stakeholders. My question really is, are those already in the curriculum? Are there specific courses, or are those things that you would love to add? What are the things that you would love to add or remove from the curriculum?
Remove from the curriculum, no? For the teacher education curriculum, no? We're talking of the TEI curriculum here. I think the world now of education is also rapidly looking into different curriculum across different levels. Say, for example, in the Philippines, as I've mentioned, the K-12 as we speak is being addressed. And I think the final version of that would have tremendous implication on the TEI curriculum. Kasi yun yung gagamitin ng teacher inside the classroom. Thereby, the TEI should be very, very responsive on the, you know, revisions of that particular basic education curriculum. I think yung curriculum, if you're going to redesign a 21st century teacher education, I think we have to look at, again, a 21st century education and expand the, you know, the variables on how we define 21st century education. Diba? Dati 4 C's lang yan, naging 5 C's, ngayon 12 C's na nga yan eh. So baka may idadagdag pa tayo. Compassion is not yet embedded in 21st century framework. So baka dapat ilagay natin yan, as well as yung resiliency. Another thing is, more than the curriculum itself, baka there are some areas on how we would proceed with the review. Say, for example, I think we have to look into the curriculum as a capacity building rather than a content delivery. Diba? Parang, yes, content is very, very important. It is an empirical part of the TEI, especially it is a licensed course. But more than that, we have to also heighten its capacity building on producing, as you say, teacher of the future. Yun. Tapos siguro the curriculum should also be focused on more on student-centered curriculum. Lagi natin kasing sinasabi yan eh, no? Even CHED and DepEd are saying na our curriculum is learner-centered. Pero ngayon kasi during the pandemic, nakita natin how we have to put provision in order to ensure that at the center of that learning process is the student, di ba? So I think we have to review that learner-centeredness instead of us focusing on systems. Di ba parang yung sa curriculum natin more on systems yung tinitingnan natin. Say, for examples of systems would be prerequisite, example of final exams, examples of research is more on, you know, more on a systematic approach rather than innovation projects. Ayun. So, baka kailangan if we refocus natin yung curriculum into more learner-centered rather than system-focused. And another one would be, ayun, I think the curriculum should also be, ano yun, yung providing that learning experience. Diba? Yung the student-teacher should be given that holistic, as you termed it, holistic learning experience, para pag sila na yung teacher, they would also provide that same experiential learning to their students. Kasi ngayon, parang nakikita ko sa curriculum natin, it's more on expounding information. What is this? How is this? Why is this? Yon, parang ganun. More on the students being given that learning experience as a whole, di ba? And of course, yung curriculum natin should really, really put focus on industry and academic partnership. Ito yung nakita natin ngayon during the pandemic, especially in HEIs, kasi nakita natin ngayon, we have to train around 500 million teachers, di ba, for ODL. So how could the national government do that. Eh, ang dami ngayong, you know, ang dami ngayong partnership, either public or private, and public-public or private-private that push for training. So, even doon sa provisions for resources, di ba? Ang daming partnership na nagaganap ngayon. Even doon sa employment of future teachers in private institutions and organization, kasama din yan. And because all of this, I think we also need to review our licensure. Yung licensure exam natin, yung NET, there've been a lot of calls through the years on how we could really harness the power of the learning from the ground and put it into a national licensure exam. Diba? Instead of us checking knowledge upon knowledge of a standardized exam, I think there should be provisions on harnessing the experiences. Kasi diba, ang focus of the word now is learning experiences. How do you now put that into context in terms of the licensure exam? And lastly, I think TEIs, being the bastion of teacher or education, teacher training, of assessment, of curriculum, of pedagogy, kasi halos lahat yan ang gagaling sa TEI higher educations natin, should be in constant perpetual innovation mode. Yun yung, I think this is very, very important. Yung TEIs natin dapat ngayon should invite that, kasi napatunayan na nga natin noong pandemic, pwede naman pala yung rapidly prototyping solutions eh. Diba? And we learn along the way. Ganun din dapat yung mga TEIs natin. Kailangan na perpetually innovative mode. Kasi nga, right now, there's no one solution that would fit all. Diba? So dapat yung TEI natin should be in the forefront of academic solutions.
For the, I like, again, a lot of ideas, a lot of learnings and insights coming from you. But I love really what you pointed out, that we want future educators, future teachers to become student-centered, to design active learning experiences. Oh, and yet, yeah. in the classes that they have in college as student teachers, that's not happening, because most of the time you see them, I'm not a graduate, I don't have a degree in education. I graduated with philosophy, a degree in philosophy, and then I took education units. It was very interesting because most of the time I found myself sitting down and really doing conversation, and what I expected was like our topics were 21st century environment and those kinds of things, and I'm like, but I'm not feeling it. So I think it's the same also with distance education. I had professors in distance education telling us about, you know, how you need to moderate discussion forums, you need to provide feedback. And yet I was like, but are you doing it? Or stuff like that. So I think what I've gotten from you, this pearl of wisdom, is that there should be really an alignment. We want active learning experiences in the classroom. Therefore, our teachers should be able to manifest that, do that, and experience themselves even before they take their, you know, licensure examination and apply as teachers. And even the licensure examinations should also evolve to reflect the changing times. And that's a wonderful wisdom. Very systematic solution for that, but you know, things have accelerated right now. Things have, have gone ahead more than our expectations, and we're hoping that we continue with that. Mm-hmm. Again, so thank you so much, Dr. Ferdy, and it's always an honor to have you in the podcast, and for always supporting Empower Ed, and for always trying your best, giving your best effort into helping also our student teachers in your own capacity. So stay safe, Dr. Ferdy.
Thank you also, Jim. Thank you. And if may add, most of the discussions that I set for today are being done at the National Teachers College. So I personally handle the advanced technologies for education, and this is what we're trying to push forth for all the teachers so that it would be replicated in the classroom across the country. Okay, so thank you very much, Jim. Nice seeing you again. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. Please do take care. Alam nyo naman, tumataas ang kailan ng ating COVID. So please do take care, dear teachers. At maraming salamat. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Dr. Ferdy. Thank you to everyone. We'll see you in the next episode. Take care and stay healthy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.